Who wants a new car? Who wants a new car?
Me.
Many people these days, how about a certified used car? Maybe even more readily available as a used car. Rorick Honda is the only dealership in town to offer a new car engine warranty, 3-day exchange policy, lifetime oil and filter changes, lifetime loaners, and lifetime PA inspections. Rach, I'm doing the whole thing. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I quit.
Thanks to the Rorick Advantage. Visit Rorick.com for all of your vehicle needs.
RorickHonda.com. See, I need to be a part of that. And now we start the Jagoff podcast from the one and only Irish Festival.
According to the Oxford Dictionary, the word Jagoff is defined as a noun, which means a stupid, irritating, or...
Here's how Pittsburghers define a word Jagoff. When someone cuts you off on a parkway.
Jagoff!
Or someone scares the out of you.
Yeah, Jagoff!
Or it's a term of endearment.
How you been, Jagoff?
This is Mark Madden.
Hi, this is Larry Richard.
Hey, it's Rick Sivak.
Hi, this is Greg Brown.
Hi, I'm Tyler Kennedy.
This is Antonio Holmes.
And this is the Jagoff Podcast.
This is the Jagoff Podcast. If you're listening for the first time, we ask that you listen to us every week. Subscribe to us. If you're on iTunes, leave a comment. Something nice. Something Irish, as a matter of fact, would be great. Like, hey, good luck, you little lucky charms.
Okay. I guess that's what we could go for. If you have nothing nice to say, just say nothing. That's
right.
Usually my gig. So Marin's used to this. This is where we talk about our blog post this week, which I have to tell you, mostly John, but the one I wrote was about a person who left a Saxony vodka bottle. You might not even know what Saxony vodka is, because I said I am a prissy vodka drinker and I like Tito's, and I'm not going to leave it out in a parking lot for children to trip over or to be a litterer. So that was the Jagoff blog that I wrote, because it was literally at Ross Park Mall's parking lot, and I was very disappointed. John?
Yeah.
What'd you write about?
Listen,
yours got really good traction.
We had one that wasn't really from Pittsburgh, but it was retweeted by a Pittsburgher, so had to do it. It was a Washington Nationals game where somebody's TikTok where one of the outfielders, don't even know who it is because I barely even know the Pirates, let alone the Nationals. The outfielder threw the ball to a bunch of girls in the outfield, and this dude, this adult, leans in with his mitt and grabs it from the girls.
Who does that?
Like, what? And the video is incredible. Like, you just want to go tell that dude. Like, I was as mad as someone hitting their brakes at the front of the Squirrel Hill Tunnel. That's how mad I was when I watched the video.
You have to drive with him to understand that magnitude. Right. And the other one was about the useless car vacuum, which I have to follow up with. John now wants there to be a Jagoff patent that we are apparently creating this new device to get into the cars better and detail them better. Just want you to know that that's how much impact
the car vacuum.
He's not kidding.
The shop vac at the car wash doesn't fit anything. It doesn't go down in between my seats. It doesn't fit the nooks and crannies.
Maren says she has a good one.
I have a really, really good one.
Do it. What is it?
I got it on Amazon Prime Day for $20.
What?
And it's battery powered, so you just charge it when you need to use it, and it's got a really long, thin, narrow to get into all the
There goes our patented Jagoff idea. Maren took that Irish patent and popped it.
I'll write you Jagoff on mine.
Thanks, Maren. All right, that voice you're hearing, in case you weren't watching earlier, is Maren Patron, dear, dear friend of the podcast, and especially because we go way back from, oh my gosh, we met at Market Square, I think, you know, 6-7 years ago. So anyway, you've seen Maren with us. We've done things with her and the Screaming Orphans. We absolutely adore the Irish Festival because it is a year-long thing, but the festival itself happens in this weekend in September every year. Maren, we're at Carrie Furness. What are you thinking so far?
You know, I am just totally blown away by this space. And when I first came down here for the very first time, I just fell in love.
Yeah.
It is the most Pittsburgh place you could ever be. And we want to provide you the most fun and exciting and vibrant Pittsburgh Irish Festival that we can be.
Yes.
And I think that the venue and the atmosphere has really gotten people excited about it. The Rivers of Steel Group, the River of Steel Heritage Corporation that manages the space has been an amazing, amazing partners. I can't thank them enough.
Yeah.
We also got support from the county and RIDC and the Allegheny County Development Authority to be down here. And it is just... I can't wait for people to see it.
Maren, I would agree. When I walked in here yesterday to set up the tent, and Rachel was busy too. Hint, hint. Ha! Anyways, when I walked in here to go to set up the tent there, like, it was just like this place was made for it. Now, was it hard when you came down here to envision how this all would lay out?
She's a visionary.
Or did you walk
in
here and go, oh, this is here, this is great. I mean, this just seems like it's made for it. And the backdrop of the blast furnace behind us is incredible.
Yeah, so I think, I don't know how to answer this question because I'd like to say I have a really great vision for it all the time. Yeah. But basically what I do is I come down and I just walk around for hours and I take measurements. I mean, I probably know every blade of grass in this place. And I wanted to utilize the space in a way that would highlight the Carey Furnace's best features, but it just really did feel like a match made in heaven, and I hope people feel that way. And I spent a lot of time. I just hung out.
Yeah.
I just hung out. I learned it. I thought, what are people going to want to see? What areas should I highlight? What areas should we put certain people? And I think it really came together really nicely.
Did you sleep over in a sleeping bag to kind of get the feel of the room?
No.
All right. So you're clearly in charge because you're sitting here with a walkie-talkie, like, hey, 10-4, Marin's over here.
She's like, I have eight minutes with you people.
If people are watching Facebook Live and you can come down here today, tomorrow there's a mass. And but the food is my favorite thing. It's always about food for me, and I usually go home with it on my shirt. But the fact is the food, but the storytelling, as we talked about on Q92.9, the storytelling and the heritage, the reaching backward is really the cool part here. Mm-hmm. And there's an added component of that because of Carey Furnace.
Yeah, I want to hear that. Mm-hmm. Talk to history.
Yeah, so I would say there's a couple layers of it. So the first layer is that we have our history of the traditions that existed in Ireland. And then we have the layer of all of those people that came over for work because they were starving, because of many different reasons, came over to the United States. And many of them landed right here in Pittsburgh because of the work we had related to the Industrial Revolution and the steel mills and everything that we did. And a lot of that happened right here at Carey Furnace. And it's even called Carey Furnace.
Right.
So what we did is we went and we looked at all of the Irish ancestors that may or may not our Irish ancestors that came over to the States and worked right here in this plant.
Crazy.
And we're trying to really lean into the merging and the internet intersectionality of the Irish that came over, that came to work in Pittsburgh, why we have such a thriving culture here, and what has really allowed for us to have such a successful Irish festival, because so many of us claim Irish heritage.
So true. And it's brilliant, because what I like and what I was going to say is you and John were talking about kind of taking the lay of the land. I love that you know who's coming back year after year. You have those staples that you know, okay, you can get this done. You have axe throwing, and I'm just looking around at the different things. People are wanting to come in and know more about their heritage. It just made sense because this is such a historical area, you know?
Yeah.
Furthermore, my favorite story, and I hate to say this because last night we ran into Gretchen McKay from the Post-Gazette and we were talking about coming here today and she said, tell me about the food. Now, Gretchen is the food editor and she's this little thing, you know, admittedly she wasn't like this big eater or cooker, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I told her about your demos. She was blown away. She wants to come now.
Oh, cool.
So she may be coming because she heard about that piece.
Awesome.
Talk to us a little bit about how this is sort of new this year with the demo kitchen.
Yeah, so in my personal opinion, Irish food doesn't get enough credit.
Agree.
You don't hear about it in the same way that you hear about Chinese or sushi or hibachi or Italian or Mexican. But Irish food is so good.
Right.
It's especially for this time of year as we're entering into the fall. It's hearty. It's strong.
It's savory. Right? Yeah.
You guys are good with adjectives.
It's very filling. And so what I wanted to do was find a way to showcase that. Now, we've always had really amazing food that we've cooked here. My great granny's recipes are being cooked behind us.
Right.
But I wanted to have people who are doing it at home or her professionals come and educate the public on tips and tricks and how to make it. So we've got amazing Irish dinner dishes. We've got desserts. We even have the group from Five Farms, Irish Cream, doing some cocktail demonstrations.
We're like dogs.
On the best way.
Raw piece of meat. We know exactly where they're located.
So we thought, okay, cool. So let's eat. Let's have dessert. Let's have some fun drinks. And let's really educate people about it, because so many people, it's not like, oh, let me, you know, they go to the Irish pub, they think about Guinness, but go and have that stew.
No doubt.
And have that Dublin Coddle and have that shepherd's pie, and we promise you won't be disappointed.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
No, I can't wait.
And so for those that are listening to the podcast, they have missed this, right? So shame on them. But in the meantime, you guys have created your brand where if you miss this, shame on you, but you can make it up, because there's like all these little things throughout the year that they can do now to gear up for next year.
Yeah. So the Pittsburgh Irish Festival is a project of the Irish Partnership of Pittsburgh. And we do events and educational programming all year round for people to learn about the history, do storytelling. We participate with St. Patrick's Day. We're looking to start maybe a new event in the spring related to St. Bridget, who is one of the other patron saints of Ireland, and in fact, the patron saint of beer.
What?
Yeah. And so we're functioning year round. And if you want us to host an educational program for you, we will. We have an Irish education and outreach program. We'll come, we'll do storytelling, we'll present dancers, we'll present music. And you know, while the festival is very important and it's our most well known, this is all year.
It's a whole thing.
I've already started on the next thing.
Of course you have.
And you know, and we worked together to get the Screaming Orphans as they were passing through Pittsburgh, kind of like a layup to this. Mm-hmm. They came to North Country Brewing. Mm-hmm. So we love those things. So they should follow the Irish Festival page just in all the social media, just mm-hmm. because there mm-hmm. are so many other things. So
I love
it. So
many things. Get here, or if you're, like John said, you're listening right now, you can't get here, make sure you go to the website, see all of the things that you may have missed, because those are all contributing factors mm-hmm. to why this legacy is what it is. So mm-hmm. follow them as well, from the music to the traditions to the various vendors, because mm-hmm. you'll just get geared up for next year.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Maren. So one more time, where does everybody follow, find all that good stuff for the Irish Festival?
So you can find all of the information you need to know at pghirishfest.org.
Perfect. This is where, cue the walkie-talkie.
Maren, maybe.
Yeah, Maren's out. She looked at her Apple Watch four times.
I can't even tell you how many times.
Maren, I will not.
She's like,
I love that I have a plethora of questions that I could go with for the question of the day, but I'm not into the whole, you know, do you believe in the four-leaf clover, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, that's the one
I actually have a good prepared answer.
That's the one I was.
Psych, that's my question of the day, Maren.
Yeah,
go.
The question of the day, Maren,
do you believe in the luck of
the four-leaf clover?
No. So in Ireland, we have this thing called Blarney.
Yep.
So we don't need the luck.
That
was good.
Well done.
That was really good.
The gift of, it's called the gift of gab.
Okay. That's okay, true. Yep. I don't have it, so I'm happy to know.
I love it. All well, right. You're going to hear the bow tides coming up here, and then we're going to talk, you already teased us into the Five Farm Creamery.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that, and there better be samples.
Yeah.
Oh, better be. We're strong arming them. Thanks, Maren.
If not, I think I can
nudge.
I think I can pull some strings.
Nudge.
All right, Rach, for the last couple of years, we've always figured out where to find our booth, and then second priority was where to find the Five Farms Dairy booth, because we always, as a matter of fact, we've gone from even mixing it to just drinking it on the rocks. That's
okay, kind
of drinking it straight.
Yeah, thank you very much, John and Rachel, for letting me talk this morning. And you can, I prefer to drink Five Farms straight myself. But at the show here, they're actually demonstrating a few cocktails, and that's fine too. But also at the show, as Miriam was saying earlier, they're using Five Farms to make some nice cakes, some nice desserts, some nice things to bake. And it's all, and that's actually part of the tradition of Five Farm now, where we are creating. That Five Farms is the first farm-to-table Irish cream liqueur. It's come straight from the farms, between cows being milked to being in the bottle is 48 hours, and that was all part of the process.
Wow. So just to back up there, it's County Cork, right?
That's right.
And
We went on the website because
we talked about you on the Q92.9 radio show the other night. So it's County Cork. It's the county most southern. It's where the Blarney Stone is, right?
That is correct.
And it's also where the Titanic took off from. Is that right?
That is absolutely correct.
Johnny, I wrote the show notes that he's reading.
No, I did my own research on that.
And actually, the County Cork, the port is called Cove. COBH, that's the actual cove, is the port to leave out of County Cork. And all the photographs we see in history of the Titanic and all the people walking around the decks, they were taken by an Irish Catholic priest who got on the ship in Cherbourg, got on the Titanic in Cherbourg, and one of his pastimes was amateur photography. And he is a guy called Lawrence, and all his photographs are from a collection called the Lawrence Collection.
Okay.
Now, I hope I'm 100% right in that.
Yes.
But
you're right.
He took all the photographs, but he disembarked in Cove. So he took all those photographs off with him, and that's why we know so much about the people walking around the decks years later.
So
the movie, if you remember the movie, there's a few movies made about it. But a lot of the imagery from the movies is actually taken from his photographs. Yeah, so that's now there's another connection, a maritime disaster off County Cork. In the First World War, there was a tragic event where the Lusitania, a liner, was torpedoed off the coast of Ireland. And that actually was one of the reasons why the United States got involved in the First World War, because that was torpedoed by a German U-boat. And that actually is within a few miles, 10 miles off the coast of County Cork. But more significantly, why I'm talking about this, and I'm just rowing in here,
sure,
is that one of our farms, one of the five farms that we take our milk from, is located at a point where you can see right out to sea where the Lusitania was torpedoed. And one of our farmers is a part-time Coast Guard, and his grandfather was a Coast Guard at the time of Lusitania, and he rescued some people who survived off of Lusitania.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's a bit of a segue into Irish history.
I love that. Well, as we were saying, John and I were reading, you know, the different information that you had on why it's five farms, because literally there are five farms,
yes,
very literally. And secondly, what is it about, and I can't recall, the cows, you have them out how many days of the year? There's something with their cycle that makes the cream creamier, right?
Yeah, exactly. Now, just to explain why I don't have a Cork accent, if there's anyone listening to this from County Cork.
I don't either, so
okay. They'd be saying he's not from County Cork. I'm from the very northern part of Ireland, a place called Donegal. But the reason I've been in the alcohol beverage industry for 30 years, and the reason I went to County Cork was that that area running up the centre of Ireland from the south is what we call the Golden Vale in Ireland, and that's the home of the dairy industry in Ireland.
Okay.
But right down at the bottom of that, where the coast hits the sea, there's actually a microclimate, and that microclimate is because the Gulf of Mexico, the Gulf Stream comes right across the Atlantic and makes Ireland a temperate climate. But the Gulf Stream hits Ireland at the point where our farms are.
Okay.
And they have a microclimate that's about 2 or 3 degrees above everywhere else in Ireland at any time. And what that means is that, and what you're referring to, Rachel, is that the grass grows longer there than anywhere else in Ireland. And one claim, one unique aspect of our five farms, Irish Cream, is, and we're the only product in the world, a cream liqueur in the world, that can make this claim. All our cream comes from exclusively grass-fed cows out in the fields, and that was one of the things we wanted to ensure.
Amazing.
In the brand.
Wow.
Amazing.
Wow.
We love your brand.
Yeah. What made you decide why five, why not three, you know, that kind of thing? Is that it just a unique thing, or are those five farms, there are five farms in this area that you just described?
Well,
is that
Well, what I would say is that, can I give you a wee bit of my own history?
And right?
So I came out here in 1987, and I was doing a post-grad expert marketing diploma, sponsored by the Irish government, and I studied in the University of Southern Maine. And my thesis was on how to introduce an Irish whiskey if you're going to launch one. That was my thesis. What a thesis to have. Now, through my research, and it was all microfiche back then, there was no internet, I discovered there was a man who lived in Pittsburgh, a man called Stanley Stankovich, God rest him, he's since passed away. And he owned a company called 12 Stone Flagons, and he was one of the pioneers of super premium products in the liquor industry. So he pioneered a brand called Iskaba Scotch. I wrote to him, and I came here to see him in 1987, and that's when I first came. But that was my career changed after I met Stanley Stankovich, because he told me, he gave me the confidence to write about what I wanted to do in my thesis about creating super premium Irish whiskies and ultra premium. But it wasn't until 25 years later that I got the opportunity to create an ultra premium or super premium Irish cream liqueur. Now, that's the backstory, and that's the it has a Pittsburgh origin to it.
I love that there's a Pittsburgh tie.
Yeah, there you go.
I poor Stanley passed away a number of years ago, but it was that meeting that changed my life. I took a complete change, a gear change, because he gave me a lot of confidence of what I was to do. So back to your question about Five Farms and so forth. I had to the whole concept of Five Farms was to go back to the Irish farms to make a cream liqueur that really reflected how Irish cream liqueurs probably tasted before they were commercialized. So I went right back, and one thing we had to do was isolate a production. And how you isolate a production is a truck run. So the particular truck run that I was interested in dealing with and working with had five farms on that truck run. So I went out, got the milk from five farms, filled the truck, came back. I had a different name for the brand, but I wasn't happy with it. And as they say in Hollywood, you know, at a working title on the brand.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. And then one night I was coming home in my car, about 5 hours. I live in Dublin, about 5 hours drive from the farms. And one of the guys rang me and says, you know, we may have another route that has six farms. And I said, no, well, I don't want to work. I don't know those people. And he says, well, what do you... I said, no, I want to... Five Farms is the product.
Six.
And the minute I said that, I had a little light bulb went on in my head and said, that's the name of the brand.
I love that.
The next morning, I rang the designer and she put the name on and we never looked back.
And the packaging is incredibly cute, fancy. It just looks...
Identifiable.
Identifiable is a good word, yeah. Johnny Hart is with us. Did I say that right? It's not Harte, right?
No, it's Hart.
We're learning initials because our sponsor is Toyota and Honda, and they have these cars that say blank blank LE, and we didn't know what we thought it was.
We were saying they were French cars, but it's just limited edition.
So we just want to make sure you weren't pronouncing Harte.
My name is, you know, we're in an Irish festival and it's Irish culture.
Sure.
My name is an anglicized version of an Irish name.
Oh, okay.
My name in Irish is O'Arch, which is spelled H, small H, A for the A-R-T. When the English had to record us for whatever.
Sure.
They wrote the English name, which was H-A-A-R-T, and said, well, that looks like Hart. So they took out the A, but because we weren't part of the English regime, they had a very subtle way of identifying who was who, so they put an E at the end.
Oh my God. That's so cool that you know that.
You're taught that very early in life in Ireland, you know.
Yes.
So everyone in Ireland, when they go to elementary school, they go in with I got a new name, or got my old name back, because I have two names in elementary school, John Hart and then Sean O'Arch.
Oh, wow.
I can even kick in a real golden nugget here. I'm actually John Fitzgerald Hart.
Oh, wow.
After JFK.
Oh, wow.
I'm Rachel Fitzgerald Rennebeck.
Right.
Or Jackie O. That's what I prefer. Has the sunglasses. Johnny, we are so grateful to have you. Tell everybody where they find you on internet.
Yeah, at www.fivefarmsirishcream.com, and you can look it up. And actually, we have a page on the site where you type in your zip code, and that'll tell you where the nearest location to buy Five Farms is.
So smart,
Sean O'Hart.
How about that? Question of the day. I gotcha. Do you believe in the four-leaf clover, the luck of the?
Oh, hey, look, all Irish people are superstitious, so you're asking me. Of course I believe in it.
Okay. All right, Marin denounces it.
Well, so. you know, Brendan Behan, the famous Irish writer and raconteur, he was asked one time, did he believe in God? And he says, well, I'm like most people in Ireland, I'm a daytime atheist, you know, so when it gets dark. So if you ask me in the dark about four-leaf clover, I 100% believe in it.
Johnny, thank you so much for the time. We can't can't wait to stop over and try your product. Thank
oh
you.
Oh my gosh.
Well,
yeah.
It's been a great pleasure, John and Rachel. Thank you very
much.
Thank you so
next
much. All right.
Up, well, we're going to be listening to a little bit of County Mayo also. And next up is our dear friend, Kara Sepeda. Well, I say dear friend. She's a dear friend of John's, and I finally get to meet her and talk to her. Listening to a little bit of Irish music, Bow Tides. All we know is we love Irish music, and we love bringing an anchor guest to the Irish Festival. Last year we had the one and only Ruben Campos, and this year we have Kara Sepeda. We've been trying to get with her schedule because she's a busy lady, and I've not had the option of interviewing her. John has known her for quite some time. Kara is actually known from the Jagoff realm because she did a yoga pose to demonstrate a blog post gone wrong, right? Like why people shouldn't park a certain
parking,
way.
Yeah.
How many years ago was that?
Oh my gosh, that has to, you know, the blog turned 10 it last December, so it has to be 8 or 9 years ago.
Wow.
Then Kara,
yeah.
One of my, you used to get all of these silly stories in the Fayette County,
I did,
Greene County
I did,
area,
yeah.
And I was telling Rachel the other day, one of my favorite stories was the guy who committed some kind of burglary, then walked down the street and went into the bar. And,
oh, yeah, you just
and,
told me
and
that.
The police
yeah,
caught him crazy. There because he was sitting there having a beer after he did his burglary thing.
Listen, I thought you were going to say, because I specifically remember you talking about the guy who went to a concert and then somehow got to Mount Washington, went into a random home and crawled in bed with a man. Yeah. You remember that? Yeah, yeah. That's what
Pittsburgh.
I thought you were going to say. Only in Pittsburgh. Yeah.
So
that made national headlines.
Yes,
so
I can imagine.
The guy's name was Frank Fontana. Why do I remember that
that's
10 years
so
later?
Oh my
Frank,
God.
Frank, if you're out there, we still love you.
Yeah,
thanks.
He's
thanks
no worries.
Probably a loyal listener.
No worries. Right, there you go. John, I'll let you start
well,
questioning because
so
I know it's
Channel
long
11
overdue.
And again, follow you. Now, did you grow up in Pittsburgh? I don't even know.
So
this,
I grew
right?
up just a few miles from here in Turtle Creek, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's
this is
fun.
My first time here. It's so beautiful. Look at this backdrop. I'm so happy to be here.
That's so funny. But because you've been here, you're one of the, I guess we always talk to the TV people and radio people are the same, but most markets are like a pass-through market. Pittsburgh somehow either keeps the Pittsburghers and gets them home, or they decide they're going to pass through, then they go, oh no, I'll stay here for the next 30 years. Like, you've been here longer than a normal reporter would be at a station, right?
Right, because I'm from here, so it was always the goal to try to land a job here, and so I can be close to my family. So as soon as I landed the job, I was like, oh boy, is this it for my TV news career? This is like the Mecca, I'm home, I'm not going anywhere, and so now you're stuck with me.
Yeah, well, we love it because, again, and the attitude is good. And then we know you went through a bumpy road here in a couple of years. You and Katie were reminiscing, and do we officially declare you as a cancer survivor at this point?
Yeah, yes. So I'm considered a cancer survivor. I'm in remission, they call it. Cancer free, some people call it. You know, and
absolutely,
I'm super happy to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a rocky road for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and you know, it's always hard for those of us watching, like someone like Katie, you know, we can only be so encouraging. You're the ones that have to go through the crap.
When especially
you know?
At such a young age, you know, from a female perspective, we're taught to self-care and to, you know, kind of early detection kind of thing. And I remember even being in my 30s and it was like, oh, you better start now. No, start when you're 15. You know, you just don't know. No, and you both are examples of this happening young.
Yeah, and you know, I got lucky. I had a mammogram done because I was like experiencing some aching that it turned out it was just from breastfeeding. It was not cancer.
Sure.
But I had that done in October of 2019, actually. So when I was diagnosed in June of 2020, they knew that that's how fast growing it was.
Wow.
There was nothing, and then there was something horrible. So it's just an indication that you should start considering your breast health super young, always checking. And some breast cancer is more aggressive than other breast cancers. And that's why you have to like constantly check, like more than once a year.
Right. No, that's a good point. Good point.
So
I was going to say, go ahead.
You know, you go.
On to good things.
Yeah,
right?
I didn't even know we were going to talk about that today. It's okay. It's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'll start advocating for it every day. You know,
you are an advocate, and we love like watching people like you, because let's face it, Pittsburgh embraces their own. So knowing that you went through what you went through, you know, is people feel like they went through it with you, just like Katie on her journey. Everybody felt like that. And I think it's really helpful because it makes you even more relatable.
Well, you know, since I was so public with it, which by the way, was like an easy decision at the time, but in hindsight, it's harder now for me, you know, to look back and see all those bald photos of me all over the internet. But people, like strangers, come up to me and say they were praying for me all the time.
Right.
I was coming down the escalator at the airport a couple months ago, and some lady, everybody was wearing masks still, and some lady recognized me and started yelling, "I prayed for you every single day. Aww. I didn't miss any days. And then you announced that you were cancer free, and I made a decision that I'm going to keep praying for you every day." She's like yelling this in the middle of the airport.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know her name. I don't know who she is, but
it's not Frank Fontana.
I see. I should know her name and not Frank's name.
Is Pittsburgh, since you're in that network of people, is Pittsburgh unique that Pittsburghers just love their TV and radio people? Like, they're like, they're celebrities here in Pittsburgh. You know, if you're on TV, like, your parents would be like, "I don't know what you did, but you're on TV, so, you know." But are most markets like that?
No, okay. Other markets are not like that. We're like one of the last remaining holdouts that people still, like, love the news. But I always, when people say, "Oh, you're a celebrity," I'm like, "I'm slightly recognizable." They're like, "No, in Pittsburgh you are." Like, "I don't know about that." Yeah. But yeah.
It's just so funny because our friend Ray Zawadney is a comedian. He always talks about, you know, "Whoa, there," you know, he does his Pittsburghese, which I won't mock, but he just says, "Oh, they, you know, that so-and-so
they're
puts their
the
pants
news.
On just like I do."
Right.
Like,
yeah, yes,
you know,
yes,
that's
yes,
so
yes,
Pittsburgh yes. that they treat them like. So let's get the down and dirty. Look, Scott Harbaugh has been a really good friend of the podcast, and he's done some things with us, but let's get some down and dirty. Like, who uses the most hair mousse at Channel 11? You know, who's the toughest one to kind of elbow out of the way? Who's keeping their lunch in the refrigerator the longest? And who steals the lunches out of the refrigerator?
Oh my goodness. The down and dirty. First of all, I don't go into the studio. So I get to, like, gracefully bow out of that question.
Okay.
I go straight
to really
my
good,
story. Thank you. I go straight to my story. I pick up my iced coffee on the road, so I'll never have to open that refrigerator.
I got it.
You know,
okay, good.
You know. See how smooth that was?
That was really good.
Yeah.
And deep down, she was like, "Silly John, I'm not answering that question."
But it's the truth. We have like a great group of people.
Oh,
we're really
do.
Lucky. We're
no
all
question.
Friends. We're actually friends with the other stations
yep.
as well. I love them all equally.
That's funny
I feel
you say
lucky.
That because we had Ian Smith, who's a KDK TV videographer.
But and, even David Kaplan before he left.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. And they talked
so
about
true.
How,
great guy.
You know, it's, you know, you show up and somebody's missing a battery and the other, you know, the other
you
station gives a battery. Everybody
yeah.
helps each other out. And that's so Pittsburgh.
It is not
me.
Like that in other markets.
Right.
I promise
right.
you
yeah.
that.
Yeah, yeah that's yeah, crazy.
Even Aaron Martin, you know, we've stayed close with Aaron and Katie since they left. And Aaron came on the radio show to talk a little bit about what his whole, like, stay-at-home dad thing has been like.
Yeah.
And he said, even in Miami, just how different, you know, it is to even be on the news and what it's like. And that's why Pittsburgh is so unique. Do you love the fact of knowing that you can pronounce Carnegie and Monongahela?
So well, yeah,
other people
so, you know, when new reporters come in that weren't born and raised,
right.
you know, like I wasn't, you know, you hear them say, like, North Versailles.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh,
yeah, Versailles.
No, don't do it.
Yes.
Don't do
kiss
it.
Kiss of death,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. kiss of death.
Take them under your wing.
And then immediately I just picture Pittsburghers turning off the TV immediately.
And mad.
Yeah, mad. Like, and talking about it over the water cooler. Like, did you hear them call it North Versailles?
Yes. Lots of scuttlebutt going on.
Yeah.
And obviously it's easy, like you said, for us to recognize you. And we do truly appreciate that you even talk about your journey. But what do you do when you're not Kara Sepaita, the news person? You have children. So are you in that scene more so? Like, you're busy kind of carting?
Mom. Yeah. My kids are here today. They were really excited. They love a good festival. You know, my son is in first grade and my daughter isn't even in kindergarten yet. So I'm still in the thick of, like, the young years.
Yeah.
And I love these years. They're the best.
They still like you.
They love me. We are best friends, right? I'm like, please don't become a teenager that hates me. Please.
Right.
You know, I went part-time when my son was maybe like 9 months old. So I work 3 days a week. It gives me a chance to be a mom 4 days a week. Mm-hmm. And I love that balance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, another reason that you're a role model, and that maybe not people don't even realize that, is that you're a professional woman that you do your job, you have a profession, but you also can split the time to be a good mom. So that's, and it's super, I think it's super cool. And again, I still think that's even super Pittsburgh, to be honest with you. And so that's cool. Now,
the moms that balance it all?
Yeah. Yeah. I think any single parent that can balance it all, you know, they're trying to figure it out. And,
proud.
Yeah. So kudos to you, right?
Thank you.
Now, Rachel was talking about what happens during the day. So do you walk in and they hand you three stories and you can choose? Do they
No.
Okay.
I genuinely don't walk in. I genuinely get to go straight to my story.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
So lucky there. But, yeah. It's a mix. Like, they like us to bring a couple ideas to the table, and then they have a couple ideas, and then everybody kind of votes, and then you.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
I love that process. It's changed a bit, right? Don't you think, in Pittsburgh?
What do you mean?
From a journalistic standpoint, I feel like I came from the Trib days where, you know, you may have submitted stories, but basically you had that hard meeting, you know, every day, and the editor said, here's what you're doing, end of story. I think there's a lot more collaboration.
I was just going to say, there's a collaborative environment, and they want to hear what you're interested in doing. And every once in a while, I pitch something that I think will make a difference and, you know, will leave me at the end of the day feeling like a job well done, and they allow it. Yeah. And those are the kind of stories that, you know, do really well.
To relate with people.
Yes, and people love... I think that there's a little bit more room for positive news these days than there used to be.
Yes.
Yeah, and I thrive on those kinds of stories.
Yeah.
Do I get to do them every day? Absolutely not.
Right.
But when I do, it makes me appreciate the opportunity to have this job.
Sure. I always say when I started, and I'm much older than you, for journalism, you chose either broadcast or print. And basically, whatever you chose, and you either did fluff or news. And I was so lucky. Yeah. I did not do hard news. I don't know that I could cover hard news.
Yeah, I'm not that lucky. I'm the hard news.
I know.
I rarely get to cover fluff.
Yeah. Well, but like you said, there is this time now where we need that balance. And I think, you know, I'm not being funny at all. We've recognized that there is a mental health issue in general, post-COVID, just in general in life. And having that balance of good news is really uplifting, you know, like you said.
Yeah. And I think that there was a time years ago where people thought they wanted positive news, but I think that like our researchers found that they didn't actually want to watch it. You know, they were turning the channel.
It's fine.
And so we stuck to hard news. But now I think you're right. I think with where we are, you know, post-COVID, coming out of the dark, I think that there's more room for positivity.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that are looking for help and mental health help. And, you know, there's not a lot of that out there.
Correct.
I know it's hard to even get like a therapy appointment. Oh, there's my babies. Hi. Look at Lila. Irish fairy.
So cute with those curls. Oh my gosh.
What you said though is interesting in that, actually I just lost my train of thought there.
Sorry.
But no. You were leading me to another question.
Kids make everything better. It's fine. Kids and animals. If your dog is here, bring the dog in now. It's perfect.
No, keep going.
Anyway, the positivity is obviously the way to go.
Yes,
and you are certainly a positive light for us.
Thank
and we are
you.
So grateful. So I think he was saying, when you're not covering news, what else are you doing?
Okay.
Are we into exercise? Are we doing a sport? What are we doing?
You mean other than being a mom?
Yep.
You know, I'm reading books and I'm going to the gym.
Yeah.
What I like
kind
to
of book
box.
Selection?
I like to box. It feels really good to punch things.
Yes.
We did that once for a podcast.
We signed up
to go back for the next 8 weeks and never went back.
You know what's funny? I'll do that podcast with you next time.
Oh, yeah.
But I have to say, John has asked me no less than 7 or 8 times to do this podcast.
I know.
Like, he has persevered to get me here.
Him.
I don't know. I think I'm more lame than you think I am, but I appreciate him wanting to be on the show.
Again, it's part of you know, we're fortunate enough that the podcast is ours and we don't have bosses. So we can run the podcast as long as we think the listeners would listen.
Yeah.
And we've found that people like yourself like to come on and just kind of talk about, you know, other than what you're talking about, life in general. And not that you want to expose your family business and, you know, that kind of stuff. But the fact is, Pittsburghers do love their personalities. And, you know, we've heard all the things about where people text you and say, your hair looks awful. Why did you choose that dress? Or why did you choose that tie?
Yeah. So listen, my hair, I used to straighten it every day.
Okay.
And now it's so gorgeous.
Yeah, the chemo curls make it just a little bit curlier than it used to be.
Yeah.
And so I find that it's too short to straighten because by the end of the day, I just look like a giant hedgehog.
Chris said yes.
So I'm like, screw it. I'm just going to wear the natural curls.
I love it.
And then I was afraid, you know, and I got back to the car. This was just like 2 weeks ago. I think it was my first time wearing it curly like this and looked at my phone and it was like, oh my God, look at your hair, look at your curls. I mean, I'm like, this many people are watching the news? I couldn't believe it. Every platform, Twitter, Facebook, yes. Instagram, my texts, my emails, people were like loving the curls,
which
I don't love them, but I was like, maybe we're on to something.
Embrace them. I'm telling you. Every baby I had took my curls.
They took your curls?
It's like, what the heck happened? Yeah. Mine used to be just like that. It's
that
crazy.
Is so funny.
Yeah,
how many hormones. Babies did you have?
Three
babies left you with. But I like the way.
Well, it's a Zazu. It's not me.
It's a Zazu.
It's totally not me. I can't do
there
it
go.
At all.
Drop.
We
there
thank,
you
we
go.
Thank Zazu. We thank the humidity
there
for being
go.
Here today.
Yeah, whoever we need to thank to make it work. No. Kara Sepeda, we adore you. Thank you so much for being such a, like we said, a positive spirit, a good person, a relatable figure here in Pittsburgh. We have a question of the day, but where does everybody find you to see your gorgeous hair and all the things you do?
Okay, so you
and to complain if they don't like your dress.
You can't. If you don't like my dress, you can complain all day. I'll take it. You can find me on Channel 11 News Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. You can find me at the playground Tuesdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. And
social media.
You can follow me on Instagram. I've sort of taken a step back from Facebook because it's like a
it's Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We won't say anymore.
It brings me down a little bit. But every once in a while, it lifts me back up.
We'll
this is why we're here on Facebook, because every once in a while, you see. Also, Facebook, I credit Facebook with like helping me find purpose in my journey because a million people from around the world followed.
Yes.
A million. I kid you not.
And those
women and their husbands that were reaching out really helped me get through a terrible
silver
time.
Lining. That's
silver
the good,
lining.
Yeah. No
silver
question.
Lining.
Yeah.
So
we'll
grateful for that.
Have you come on our Q92.9 show? What is it, Thursdays? And when we do social media soapbox,
we complain about soapbox.
Yes,
media.
Listen, let me tell you one thing about 92.9. Years ago, I was on the WDV morning show, and Randy was like, Kara is here today, even though she consistently cheats on us with 92.9.
Oh my God, that is so funny. That is too funny.
We'll make you keep doing that, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, do you believe in four-leaf clovers? Is there luck to them?
You know, I do believe in luck. I do. Yeah. I do believe.
It has to be a little bit.
I've never found one before.
Mm. Yeah, me either.
I
think if you're a mom, you have to, because there's the whole, you never know.
No.
You never know.
Yeah,
yeah. You have
why
to
not?
Keep the faith. Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Why not?
If you don't, well, that's just kind of a humbug.
I thought you were going to ask me what my favorite Irish food is, by the way. And I was
what
real,
is it?
Do you want to tell us?
I was real nervous about that.
You know what I say? Sweet potatoes, because I don't eat meat, like red meat.
I don't eat meat. That's why I was nervous about that.
Yeah, don't be nervous. Oh, I don't eat meat. It's okay.
I eat potatoes. So I haven't met a potato I don't love.
I have a sweet potato every time I'm here.
I'm here for the potatoes, actually.
How about that? Yesterday was pierogies. Today it's potatoes.
I'm also over there for pierogies.
I love it. Kara Sepeda, you're the best. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys.
You can go to yourjagoff.com. And, you go to yourjagoff.com and just search the last name Sepeda and see all the blogs she's responsible for her news
stories. The parking spot story.
The parking spot story. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, guys.
Coming in from music, it's the Bow Tides. We've been listening to them through each guest. And so now we're going to talk to you guys. So, all right. So tell us a little bit about the group. You're kind of a new collaboration from other groups, right?
We are a new collaboration. So we just began about 2 years ago over the course of the pandemic. We were a pandemic-born project that the three of us actually all knew each other from our past lives in Gaelic Storm. So over the last basically two decades, Jesse, me, and our other fiddle player, Ellery, played the role of the fiddle player in Gaelic Storm, so we knew each other because of that, but we'd actually never been in the same place until Pittsburgh Irish Festival last year. So we met the day before the festival after so many Zoom calls. We finally got to play together, and we hit the stage last year for the first time here, so that was our debut, which was cool and
how
really
energizing,
special.
Right?
Yes.
Oh, right. Yeah, and some of them had never actually met each other. Like, some of the band members have never even met, and we'd done two virtual concerts for two different festivals, and it was all using technology. Like, we were in three different states. We never got to actually be together. It was like, I think we got I think we got quite teary, didn't we? We were like,
yeah.
Yep. Like, it's you, like, you're really here. We can play music together for real.
You're three-dimensional.
Yeah.
It was so amazing.
What's your take on it?
Yeah, so it's awesome. I'm actually just kind of half of the rhythm section. Jesse's husband, Eric Tureen, is an upright bass player, so he wasn't able to be here this morning with us, but I'm half of the rhythm section playing guitar for him. So love it. We did, like they said, it was all a cappella, which is an app that you used online. A lot of bands did it, but we're happy to be able to play live now. So
I love it. Now, where does everyone live? So, Katie, you're not here anymore. You're in Chicago?
I'm in Chicago now, but originally from Wexford, Pennsylvania.
I love it. You guys are not from Pittsburgh. I can tell your accent is definitely not Pittsburgh.
I'm outside Chicago as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we were talking about the community, the Irish community, and how you get together as far as playing in the – that's the tradition, right? So when you go around the Irish festivals, is that a lot of fun? Does it become work? Because it doesn't look like work right now.
It's fun.
I think the work is traveling. Once you get to the festival, the hard part is done. So.
I get you. Okay.
Yeah, you just love performing together so much. Yeah. And then, you know, like they're talking about the community of all the musicians and all the organizers and every, you know, you get to know everyone. And so, it's fun. It's like a big family. It feels kind of like a family, particularly, actually, the Pittsburgh Festival.
Yeah, Miriam is
like
such an awesome person
family.
To work with.
Yeah.
I mean, she's such a big supporter of the Bowtides, and particularly having a female-fronted group like this is an awesome thing. And Pittsburgh is a kind of unique festival in that regard. They're really concerned about the equanimity of like female performers. And so it's really cool to be part of this project and also particularly this festival.
That's
cool.
Pretty cool. Yeah. Wow. See, Pittsburghers, we love to be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you guys got it going on.
I'm cutting it.
You have a Kickstarter up right now, right? So talk about that for a little bit.
We do. So over those 2 years that we were meeting through Zoom and coming up with arrangements, we realized we had enough material to actually make a proper album. So last month, we all got together in Chicago. We spent 2 full days in the studio, and we just got a lot of those pieces down. And the album's done. So we have a Kickstarter up. It's on our website, thebowtides.com. And people can get the MP3 files all the way up to signed posters. And we have some other fun rewards. So check it out. We're really excited. And we hope that people like the music that we've been working on.
We will totally share
that.
We love it. You guys are phenomenal.
Thank you.
And I was saying to John, in case they missed it because of our technical difficulty, what's the best part of the festival, the after hours, and why?
Just getting to play with other bands from all over the world. It's truly the best part of the festival. Sometimes you'll be playing tunes with people you've never have a discussion with them, but you played with them for 3 hours. It's really a crazy phenomenon.
Like your new best friend. Oh, and as well, the tradition is an oral tradition where the music's passed on. We don't really use sheet music that much. So you will go, you know, you'll get like people in from all over Ireland right now. So last night we were playing till like 2 a.m. with people from all over, and there'd be a tune, you'd catch a tune by, you know, be like, oh, I love that one, quickly record it on your phone, then you get to go home and learn it, and then suddenly that tune has got a new life in a different part of the world, and
then
that's
it's
how
on the
tradition.
Next album.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But that's
we're sourcing
the
material for Bowtie number 2.
And that's a huge part of the tradition, is like it's been going that way forever, and now it's, you know, going all over the world that way very quickly.
No,
so
I love
that's
exciting. I was going to say, I think it's funny because I think that's how us commoners picture it. But for you to give validity to that, like, we're like, wonder if they hang
You're
out
spot
after
on.
It.
You're
oh,
spot
yeah,
on there.
That's
yeah,
absolutely.
Totally.
Everybody's names, real quickly, just so we can.
Yeah, my name is Jeff Lindblade from Chicago. Yeah.
I'm Jesse Burns from Colorado.
Katie Grennan from Wexford, Pennsylvania.
There you go. That was smart, Katie. You know how us Pittsburghers are. All right, we're going to get them to play one more song. We appreciate them so much. We absolutely adore the Irish Festival. This is our jam, as you know. We always say, you know, we love ourselves some Sarah Z's. The Cultural District the Cultural Trust does an amazing job with their events, and we love them, but we can't help it. This is our number one, and Picklesburg.
So as they tune up, we have to say thank you to Kira Sapida from Channel 11, who finally made it to the podcast. Thank you to Maren Patron, who always has us. By the way, this is our anniversary because, one, this is the first podcast that Rachel started to co-host was at the Pittsburgh Irish Festival. Yep. That podcast episode was actually nominated for a Golden Quill back then. How about that? So anyway, so happy anniversary, thanks, Rachel.
Well, and I have to add, what's cool about that is I'm a traditional journalist by trade, and we always
had to submit, and I never got any kind of nod from a Golden Quill until this podcast.
So he's talking about it, Jagoffs.
And we got it in the creative division for culture. So it's truly near and dear to me because you guys are the reason. The topic matter that we have is why it got nominated.
And thank you to Sean O'Hart, otherwise known in America as Johnny Hart from Five Farms Creamery.
Creamery, yeah.
Who we love that stuff. And that's it. And now we're going to hear one more song other than Rory Condor.
Who wants a new car? We do. Many people do these days. How about a certified and used one? Maybe even more readily available. Rorick Honda is the only dealership in town to offer the Rorick Advantage, which comes with a plethora of things. Visit RorickHonda.com for all of your vehicle needs, and thanks to the Bowtides for playing us out today.